The reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. He and his wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right-hand side of the altar. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord God, and he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Emma, for reading. Good morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story that just is amazing to read and really gives us insight into all that is to come in this amazing season that we get to celebrate. So Lord, would you open our eyes, would you open our hearts to what it is that you want to say to us very specifically even this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The big morning this morning because for the first time ever, we're controlling our own slides up here. So if it goes wrong, you can look at me. I've only myself to blame. But we're looking at this theme this morning of what the angel said. We'll be in this theme over the next few weeks. And encounters with angels, you'll know this, they're really quite central in the whole biblical account of the birth of Jesus and all that surrounds it. Angels play really key parts. And last week, if you were here, Simon brought some amazing teaching, really helpful teaching around angels through that vision of Isaiah in the temple where he saw the seraphim in the throne room. And last week, it was powerful to learn about the ministry of angels. But over the next 3 weeks, we're going to shift focus ever so slightly and look more specifically at some of the messages that angels delivered in the preparation for the birth of Jesus. And where we find ourselves in our reading this morning, where we find ourselves is right at the end of a long, long period of silence from heaven. Okay, our reading this morning, it really started over 400 years earlier, because the prophets at the end of the Old Testament, in so many places, they point towards the coming of the Messiah, don't they? We know that about the end of the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets. They point towards the Messiah and all the different things that will surround his arrival. And part of these prophecies is this one, that somebody would come before Jesus, and they would come in the spirit of Elijah with that prophetic anointing to make way for a coming king. And we've read about this morning with John the Baptist. I really want you to notice this. Here is, if this works for me. Right on that. Guys, I'm lost already. You're going to have to do it for me. Look at that. Thank you so much. We'll abandon that for the rest. Well, I want you to notice this morning. Here is literally the final words the final words of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, this is literally how the Old Testament closes. And it's this prophecy that somebody will be sent, and Elijah will be sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And then the second one is our reading this morning in Luke 1, showing us this prophecy being fulfilled. But this prophecy from Malachi, it didn't happen the following day, or it didn't even happen a week or two later, or a year or two later. Over 400 years have passed. The Lord didn't speak again for over four centuries. And that can be quite hard to get your head around, this passing of 400 years. It's quite hard to imagine that passing of time. It's a long time. Many of you know, because I talk about this all the time, but I grew up in County Fermanagh, and I went to school. I was educated, they tried to educate me in Batora Royal School in Enniskillen. And when I was there, I loved being at school, but they had this real thing around their history, right? They were obsessed with the history of the school. And they used to drum it into us as teenagers, the history of Batora and how important it was to know this. And when I was at school, they celebrated a big birthday. They were 400 years old. Batora was established 400 years ago when I was at school in Enniskillen. And as part of this big birthday, they had this project that they wanted us all to do. I think it was in history or one of those sort of classes. And this project was that we had to create a timeline between 1608, when Batora was established, and 2008, when I was sitting in school. And what we had to do is we had to do a bit of research and pull out key things that had happened in history between 1608 and 2008, just to show us how long ago that really was that Batora was established. And I remember, that probably sounds like a really boring project, but it was a day out in the computer room, so it was an absolute dream. I was happy enough to be doing it. And I remember doing it, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, 400 years, that is actually such a long time. Batora was established in 1608, and I remember learning that the following year, Galileo invented the telescope. So that's how far back we're going. A few years later, the King James Bible was published. It took 100 years for electricity to be understood and to be used. 150 years later, Edison invented the light bulb. 200 years after Batora, the steam train was invented. And then another 100 years to the World Wars. And then finally, 100 years to me sitting in the classroom doing this project. Think of the countless number of people who are born, live, and die in 400 years. It's quite something to think about. 400 years is a long time, and the final Old Testament prophet spoke, and then silence from heaven. Silence and darkness for around 400 years. But in the darkness, they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And we fly through this massive passing of time, and then we pause and we zoom back into what we read this morning. And in many ways, this is a very ordinary moment that we read this morning, and 400 years worth of days like this have gone before. And we find ourselves here over 400 years later, where we read, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. So over 400 years later, we're in the days of Herod. And really, these are the darkest of the dark days for Israel. I want you to understand that. Herod was an evil, evil ruler. And he ruled like a tyrant, really, for 36 long years. And he was really obsessed with power. That was his big thing. And he would just strike down and kill anybody that got in the way of this power trip that he was on, including members of his own family. He had them killed, feeling like they were a threat to his power. Herod was an oppressive ruler. So these were dark days for Israel. The days of Herod, but in this darkness we know that they were waiting. And we meet this priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And I just love their names, which I've tried to put on the slide, but I've thrown it again. Sorry, boys, can you go to the next slide? Here are what their names mean. Zechariah means this: God has remembered again. Bless you, thank you so much. Zechariah means God has remembered again. And after this long period of silence and of darkness, Zechariah's name is a declaration, isn't it, of what is about to come. God has remembered again. And Elizabeth means God is faithful. It's a beautiful reminder to us, isn't it, of God's pattern of remembering and keeping his promises. God remembered and God is faithful. And you know, sometimes if we feel like we're in moments of silence or darkness, we have such a tendency to forget the blessings and the benefits of the Lord and all that he has done for us. Our instinct can be at times of darkness, in dark days, to just throw what we know of the Lord out the window and to forget all that he's done for us. But here is a reminder. In darkness and in silence, to bless the Lord, O my soul, and to forget not all his benefits. Zechariah, God remembers. And Elizabeth, God is faithful. So here they are, and they're living in this land of deep darkness. But I also want you to notice that personally, there is a darkness in their lives as well. As a couple, they have this personal darkness, because here's what we read in verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. So they have this personal darkness as well. And it's interesting because we read explicitly that the Lord was pleased with this couple. We read that they were righteous before God, but they had this lifelong disappointment. They weren't able to have children, and now it says that they were very old. And you'll know this already, that the assumption of everybody around them would have been that they've obviously done something wrong and that God is punishing them and that God is displeased with them for something, and that's why they can't have children. That would have been the belief of the time. But it's simply not what we read, is it? They were righteous before God, but they had no child. They were righteous before God, but they lived with this lifelong disappointment. And very quick, it's a sermon in itself, really, but it's a reminder that how seasons of difficulty and disappointment often can breed bad theology. You know, it's so easy to buy into this ancient lie that disappointment means, well, God mustn't care about me, or God has forgotten me, or maybe he's not even there. It's so easy to buy into those lies. Or you see somebody else's life and you think their life looks amazing, and you think, well, God must just love them more than he loves me, or he loves them in a really special way, and he's forgotten all about me. You know, all around Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been this assumption that God was displeased with them. But Scripture says otherwise. They were righteous before God, but they had no child. And verse 8 says this: he was serving as a priest before God when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, and he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. So Zechariah is a priest. But he's not Israel's only priest at this time, far from it. There are actually thousands and thousands of priests at this time, and they're all split into these divisions. And because there are so many priests, very, very few of them ever get this privilege of offering incense on the altar of incense at the temple. The vast majority of priests would never, ever, ever get this chance. And if you're one of the very few priests who get to do this, then you'll only ever do it once in your life. And on this day, Zechariah had been chosen for the task. So what we actually see is this is really a huge day for Zechariah. This is the pinnacle of his career, of his life as a priest, having this unspeakable privilege of going into the holy place and offering intercessions through the burning of incense on the altar. This is the biggest day of his life. And we read that there was a crowd that had gathered to pray. And what they would have done is they would have watched him go into the holy place, and they would have waited for the smoke to rise up so they know that their prayers had been given. And then they'd wait for him to come back out and pronounce the blessing, and then they'd all rejoice together. That was the plan. But on this day, it didn't happen. So Zechariah entered the holy place, I'm sure filled with nerves and excitement and a sense of privilege of getting to do this thing that so many other priests never get to do. And he would have stood at the golden altar of incense, and beyond him would have been the veil into the Holy of Holies. And he would have stood there and waited for the signal to light the incense. And as he was standing there, we read this. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. This once-in-a-lifetime moment for Zechariah was turned on its head when an angel of the Lord appeared. And we have that on the next slide. And this is where we're going to really focus the rest of our time this morning, on this angelic encounter that Zechariah had. This angel of the Lord appears to Zechariah, and we read that he is afraid. And it seems that the common biblical theme when angels show up is fear. We know that when the angel turned up to Mary, the angel said, "Fear not." Or when the heavenly host turned up to the shepherds, it says in Scripture that the shepherds were afraid. They were filled with fear. And it's no different here. The angel appears, and Zechariah is afraid. And we know from other Scripture that this angel that appeared had the appearance of a man. We know that from when this angel appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament. Gabriel appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament, and he was described as having the appearance of a man. But there must have been something extraordinary about this figure to create such fear in Zechariah. And we know that the angel came with a message, didn't he? The primary ministry of angels is to be messengers. If we go to the next slide, we'll see that this word angel, angelos, it literally means messenger or sent one. It's sometimes used to describe the apostles as well, sent ones. That is the ministry of this angel. And he brings this astonishing message that'll change Zechariah's life, will change Elizabeth's life, will change the life of Israel, and really will change humanity from this moment forward. Here's what he says. The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John." Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard, and you will have a son. You know, I find that interesting, because you'd read that and you'd think, well, Zechariah, he must have been praying for a son in order for the angel to say this. But actually, most commentators don't think that that is the case. And I actually agree with them on this. Because, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they now would have been so old that it's very, very unlikely that they were still praying for a son. They very likely would have stopped praying that prayer a long time ago. They wouldn't have been praying for a son at their age. So what is this prayer that has been answered? Well, Zechariah, as a priest in this time of darkness and of silence, he would have been praying, like all the other priests, for a light and for a voice. In this time of darkness, he would have been praying for a light and a voice. He would have been praying for the nation, for the redemption of Israel, who were oppressed under the heavy hand of Rome and of Herod. And the angel of the Lord says, your prayer has been answered. And here's what the Lord is going to do as part of this redemption story, is he's going to give you a son. And the angel says, you'll call him John, which means God is gracious. And the angel goes on to say that he will be great before the Lord. What an amazing thing that is. What a place to be great before the Lord. Not necessarily great in the eyes of the world or in the eyes of others, but great before the Lord. I love that. What a thing to be said. And then he'll take this Nazarite vow where he'll not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's birth. That's interesting. You know, all that Zechariah would have known of the Holy Spirit is what he's seen in the Old Testament, that the Holy Spirit falls on specific people for specific tasks for a specific time. He'd know that the Holy Spirit fell on Gideon as he led people into battle, or on Moses as he led the Exodus out of Egypt. But it's said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And you know, there was soon coming a day where all believers could live a life in the Spirit. You know, Joel prophesied that my Spirit will be poured out upon all. John is a forerunner of Pentecost. This baby is a forerunner of Pentecost. And we read that he comes to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. There'll be a change in relationships and in families, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That'll be his chief task, to call Israel to repentance and to herald in the Messiah, Jesus. What an announcement from this angel. And Zechariah, we know he struggles to believe it. He says that he's too past it. It can't be me. I'm too old. And he wants a sign. And the angel of the Lord responds with this in verse 19. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. You know, this is one of only two angels in Scripture that we get a name for. And this angel's name is Gabriel. And that has a few different meanings, really. It can mean that God is strength. It can mean warrior of God. But the most direct translation is very simply, God's man. Gabriel, God's man. And to Zechariah's doubt, he responds with this, I stand in the presence of God. I love that. What a thing to say. He's saying, do you know where I have just come from? Because moments ago, this angel is where he usually is, where he's usually found, which is standing in the presence of God in the throne room. And he has been sent to bring this message. And, you know, that gives us a real insight into the ministry of this angel. His natural position is to be found standing in the presence of God. And then we see that he's a messenger, angelos, a sent one, a messenger of God. He stands in the presence of God, and he's now come to give this message of good news. And he gives this sign to doubting Zechariah where he says, you'll be silent or unable to speak until these things take place. So Zechariah leaves this encounter with God's messenger, unable to speak. And the whole crowd is waiting for him outside, waiting for him to come out. And they're thinking, where has he got to? Where is he? They're waiting for him to come out and pronounce the blessing. And eventually he comes out and he can't speak. And he has to make signs to them to explain what has happened. And we read, as we finish the passage, that he finished the rest of his duties in silence and then went home to Elizabeth to wait for the arrival of their promised son. And I'm sure that the months of silence that followed for Zechariah would have given him time and space to ponder all that he had encountered through the visit of Gabriel the messenger. And here's what he would have realized, and what we can know this morning as we finish. Here is the message of the angel, and truly what I believe that the Lord wants to speak to us this morning through this passage. The first thing is this, it will come up in the next slide, that even in the darkness, God remembers and God is faithful. Remember, cultural darkness all around them, personal darkness in their home and in their family life. Even in the darkness, God remembers and God is faithful. Their very names speak testimony to God. Zechariah, God remembers. Elizabeth, God is faithful. Here's another thing I believe the Lord wants us to hear this morning. It'll come up on the screen, that even in times of darkness, God is raising up a good news people. You know, God raises up people generation after generation to proclaim and to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is here in Jesus. And you know, because we say it all the time, that many people in this village are in darkness. Many people in the towns that surround us are in darkness, in our cities, in this nation, in the world. Many people live in deep darkness. But God wants a people set apart, filled with the Holy Spirit, as John has shown us, living a life sold out for Jesus to carry his light into the world around us. Even in these times of darkness, God is raising up a good news people. And thirdly, it'll come up on the screen as well. What a reminder also to us this morning that circumstance or age or whatever limitation we think we might have, it is no barrier for the Lord. He wants to use you. And as we pray and as we dream about reaching our community for Jesus, we all have a part to play. I was with a dear couple this week who are further on in years, and they spoke about how their ministry hasn't stopped. It's just changed slightly with their current life circumstance. And they told me these stories of how they use the telephone to bless other people and to pray with people and pray for people. There's this ministry of prayer over the telephone. We all have a part to play. Limitations are not a barrier for the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning to get before the Lord and seek out what it is that he is leading you into. And above all of this, really, the angel, angelos, messenger, Gabriel, God's man. He came with a good news message, a gospel message that those, as Isaiah says, I love this, those living in darkness will see a great light. And we know that this messenger who stands in the presence of God will be sent once more to Mary to announce the arrival of the Savior Jesus, which we might get a chance to think about one of these next weeks. And maybe for you this morning, you are still living in darkness. Maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus. You haven't turned from the darkness of your sin and your old life and embraced the light and forgiveness in Jesus. As we hear these things that the Lord is saying to us, as he wants to send us out, maybe for you this morning, you don't know him like you should. What a morning this would be. To come out of the darkness and into his glorious light. Why don't we stand together? I'd love to pray, and then we'll move back into a time of worship. Lord, wherever we find ourselves this morning, maybe we feel like we are walking through darkness and silence. We thank you, Lord, that you have not forgotten us, that you remember, and that you are faithful. Lord, I thank you that you want to raise up a people filled with the Holy Spirit to carry your light and your life to this community around us. Lord, let that be me. And may that be the prayer of each one of us. We praise you, Lord, that our excuses or limitations are nothing in your hands. And Lord, for anyone that doesn't know you this morning, we pray that you would lead them into light everlasting. I pray in Jesus' name.